Amen. Amen. All right. Well, brothers, if you happen to have joined us the last time that we got together, you recall that we started this amazing chapter, Daniel chapter 3, and we took a look at the first 18 verses of this chapter in which we saw that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had set up this huge image there in the plain of Dura, right? Which was about 6 miles southeast of Babylon. And interestingly enough, Dura was actually an area that was not too far where King Nebuchadnezzar ruled his kingdom. So if he wanted to, he can actually open his window and see it from where he lived. But we also learned that once he sets up this huge image, he also made a law that he wanted everyone throughout Babylon to fall down and worship this gold image, right? And this image that he had set up, we were told, was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, which tells us that this thing was 10 times taller than it was wider. Needless to say, this was a very huge statue. It was about the size of a 9-story building. But not only was it very tall when it came to its height, we were also told that it was made up of gold, right? Which actually tells us some very important information. You know, that tells us that King Nebuchadnezzar actually believed that his kingdom was going to last forever. You know, he thought that this thing is never going to pass away. I mean, even though God had just finished telling him back in Daniel chapter 2 that his kingdom, the Babylonian Empire, was going to be replaced by the Medo-Persian Empire, King Nebuchadnezzar thought otherwise. He thought, no way, this thing is going to last from generation to generation. And again, that's the reason why he made it all in gold. And as we mentioned last time, though, what Nebuchadnezzar was actually doing by creating this image in the first place was he was actually implementing a new system of government and worship. Or if you prefer, he was creating a new world order. A new world order where he was going to be the head of this thing, head of both the state as well as religion. And that was something that he was going to make very clear to all of the people of his day. And that's why, if you guys remember, you know, once he sets up this huge image there in Dura, he then calls for an assembly to all of his principal officials, which were in a real sense the world leaders of his day, to come to the dedication of this image. You know, you can't create this huge piece of art without having a party, right? So in effect, that's what he does. He calls for this assembly, and the reason why Nebuchadnezzar calls for this meeting in the first place was because he was going to demand that all of his officials pledge their allegiance to him and to his system, to his new government. And if for whatever reason any of these men, any of these officials chose to not obey the king, you know, if for whatever reason any of them didn't want to follow through with this new law, then the consequence was that they were going to be killed for it, right? I mean, King Nebuchadnezzar made it very clear that if you don't fall down and worship this image, he was going to have you thrown into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And you know, just the thought of a person being burned alive, engulfed in flames, was to serve as a real incentive that, hey, we should probably listen to what the king is asking of us, right? We should probably do what this law is, or what he's telling us, lest we fall into this fiery furnace and be burnt up by it. And so he makes this law, and everyone in Babylon begins to fall down and worship this image, except three men, right? There were three Hebrews in the midst of this crowd who chose to take a stand and not bow down to this image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and that was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, these three men of God weren't willing to bend the knee or cave in to all of this pressure that was being thrown at them by the world and by King Nebuchadnezzar himself. And the reason is because just like Daniel, these men, these three Hebrews, also made a decision in their life that even though they were in this foreign land, even though they were 600 miles away from their homeland, they made a decision in their life that they were going to obey God and do what his word was asking of them. They were going to live their lives wholeheartedly for the Lord and regardless of the consequences that came their way. And I believe that that's a decision that all of us here tonight need to also make at some point in our walk with the Lord. You know, we need to settle in our hearts that we're going to obey God and do what his word is asking of us. Because the amazing truth is that when you actually settle that decision in your life, then it's a whole lot easier to say no to all of the pressures and to all the temptations that this world so often seems to throw our way. And again, the reason is because you've already made up your mind, I'm going to live for the Lord, right? I'm going to do what Jesus asks of me. And that's exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. These three men of God made up their minds that they were going to live for the Lord and do what the Word of God says. These men were sold out for the Lord. They were devoted to the God of Israel. But because of that, though, as we're going to see tonight, they're now going to face some very serious consequences from the world, namely for the king himself. Because beginning now in verses 19 through 23, we're now going to see the verdict of King Nebuchadnezzar against these three Hebrews. And for starters, we're going to read verses 19 through verse 23, and then we'll go back and study it verse by verse. And so if you're there in chapter 3, let's now pick it up in verse 19. The prophet Daniel, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace." Verse 21, "Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Wow, right? So as you guys can see, as always, we have some pretty powerful verses that we're going to be studying tonight in the Word of God. But as we get started, notice again how Daniel begins this section. He starts off in verse 19 by saying, "then." And that word "then" is a word that actually points us back to what was just said back in verses 16 through verse 18, which, if you guys remember, was the response of these three Hebrews to King Nebuchadnezzar. If you guys recall, the king had just finished giving these three Hebrews a second chance to bow down to this image, right? He said that, hey, if you do this, all is going to go well with you. Things are going to be smooth sailing for you. But if you don't fall down and worship this image, the consequence is that you're going to be thrown into the midst of this burning fire furnace. And then arrogantly, he also says, "and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands," right? And after hearing that response, they tell the king, well, hey, we actually have a God who can deliver us from your hand, O king. And not only that, he can also deliver us from the midst of this burning fiery furnace. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, knowing that our God is sovereign, they ended their statement in verse 18 by saying, "but if not, you know, if that's not the case, if God chooses not to deliver us out of your hands, just know that we do not serve your gods or worship the image that you had set up." You know, these three men of God made it very clear to the King Nebuchadnezzar that they weren't going to comply with the orders that he had given to them. Because deep down inside, these men knew that if they were to fall down and worship this huge idol that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, they knew that this would have been a violation against God's holy commandments, namely the second and the third commandment. The second commandment is, "you shall have no other gods before me," right? The third one is, "you shall not make for yourself a carved image or bow down to it." And remember, when these four Hebrews came to Babylon, they already had 16 years under their belt of a solid foundation of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and his word, right? And so they knew better than to worship this idol. But they also knew that if they caved in to all of this pressure that was being thrown at them by the world and by the king himself, that not only would they have sinned against God, which is a serious matter in and of itself, but they would have also violated their own conscience. Because again, they knew that this would have been a sin against God. And they weren't okay with that. These were men of convictions, and they held deeply to them. And that's why, as we saw last time, these three men chose to stand up to the most powerful king of their day, and they flat out said no to him. we're not going to do what you've asked of us, right? We're not going to bow down to this image that you have set up. And how I pray that more of us today would be willing to do the same thing, right? We'd be men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and take a stand and say no to all of the pressures and all the temptations that this world so often seems to throw our way, just like these three men. But now, because these three men of God had defied the king's orders, and because they weren't willing to worship this image that he had set up, again, it says in verse 19, then, because that's true, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. I mean, you got to understand that at this point, the king has had it with these guys. He is completely upset with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it says, and the expression on his face changed. In other words, speaking of his demeanor, his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, if you guys remember from our last study, one of the things that we learned last week was that it was these Chaldeans, these advisors to the king, who were responsible for ratting out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? These were the very men who came up to the king and said, hey, king, I don't know if you know this, but you have three of your own employees, three of your own staff members who are really not wanting to do what you've asked of them. I mean, not only do they not want to serve your gods, but they mentioned that they don't want to worship this image that you have set up. And, you know, hearing this information from these Chaldeans really caused the king to get pretty upset, right? And to the point that he actually issued a direct order for these Chaldeans to go and find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And once they found them, they were to then bring them back to the king. And so, again, he gave them a second chance to see if these accusations were in fact correct. And as we see here, now that he's confirmed that they're not willing to bow down to his image, the king is furious, right? As the scripture says here, he was full of fury. You know, the guy already had anger problems to begin with, but to now hear this admission on their part that they weren't going to do what he asked of him, I mean, it caused him to get enraged beyond measure. And as we see here, his inward anger was manifested outwardly through his facial expression. You know, he probably had a very angry look upon his face, probably had eyes full of hatred, you know, a look that can kill. And some of you know what that look looks like, right? Some of us have been victims of that look. But now notice what his anger leads him to do. It goes on to say, he, that's Nebuchadnezzar, spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. In other words, the king wanted the furnace to be turned up as hot as possible, as hot as you can get it. That's what he was asking for. And I find this to be actually pretty funny, because if you think about it, if King Nebuchadnezzar really wanted these men to suffer, if he really wanted to torture them, then he would have asked to turn down the heat, right? Because by raising up the heat, they're more susceptible to dying quickly. But as you guys know, anger can usually cause us to make some very dumb decisions, right? And not think clearly, as we see was the case with King Nebuchadnezzar. His anger got the best of him, and it caused him to make a very poor judgment, which I hear happens to people. I know it doesn't happen to you guys, but it happens to others. But now before we move on, one of the things that we need to understand is that this punishment that the king was looking to enforce on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was really meant to serve as a lesson to all of those in Babylon, that this would be the repercussion for anyone who wanted to disobey the king's authority. You know, King Nebuchadnezzar was looking to make an example out of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for their disobedience. And then notice what the scripture goes on to say in verse 20. It says, and he, speaking of Nebuchadnezzar, commanded certain mighty men of valor. And you see that phrase, mighty men of valor? Now, back then, this was actually describing the strongest men within the king's army. These were men who were actually trained that if need be, they would actually lay down their life for the king. And notice very carefully the kind of command that he gives them. It says that he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And so here we see that the king gives these strong men two direct orders. First of all, he wants them to bind them up. He wants them to tie a rope because that was a customary thing to do to prisoners. But once they were done bounding them up, they were then to throw these men into the fiery furnace. Because if you remember, that was actually the consequence that he had laid out for anyone who didn't want to worship his image, right? He says, you're going to be thrown into the midst of this burning fiery furnace. And we're going to see that that's exactly what's going to happen to these three men. But you know, one of the things that we see here from the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is that these three men were faithful and unwavering in their devotion to the God of Israel. And at the same time, they were willing to trust in the Lord no matter the consequences, no matter what happened to them, and no matter what the outcome was. And the question we got to ask ourselves is, do we have that same kind of faith and trust in the Lord just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where we can trust the Lord with no matter what happens in our life, knowing at the end of the day that our God is sovereign? Because notice, that's the kind of faith and trust that these three Hebrews had in the God of Israel. And now look at verse 21. It says, then, so now that these mighty men of valor have been given this direct order by the king to bind up Daniel's friends and to have them thrown into the fire, it says, then these men, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, one thing we need to understand is that this furnace that these three Hebrews were going to be thrown into was most likely constructed with an opening at the very top of it. And it would have also taken a ramp to walk up in order to reach the top of this furnace where they were going to be thrown into. And what's interesting to note is that typically at this time, a person would have all of their clothes stripped off before they were executed. But yet, as we see here, because of the seriousness of their offense and because of the urgency of the king's request, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are still fully clothed, right? They still have all of their clothing on them. And on top of that, they're bound up with ropes. And as we're going to see in just a second, their clothes are actually going to become a testimony to the delivering power of our God. We'll see that in just a second. But you know, there's no doubt that when these three Hebrews were walking up this ramp towards the fiery furnace, that every eye in that crowd was watching their every move, watching for them to be thrown into this furnace, probably expecting that they were going to die. But look at verse 22. It says, therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire, notice this, killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Notice that. Now, these executioners who were given the command to bind up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the fire actually died in the process of throwing them in this fire. I mean, that's how hot this furnace was. Evidently, it was so hot that while they're fulfilling their duty, they die in the process of it. But now notice what happens to Daniel's friends. Verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, at this point, Nebuchadnezzar, along with his officials, are most likely seated a safe distance away, watching all of this unfold. And, you know, after seeing these three Hebrews fall into the furnace, you know, there's no doubt that King Nebuchadnezzar must have been thinking that these men were goners, right? That these men are going to die in this fire and there's no way that they're going to come out of it. At least that's what he thought. But now what's so amazing is that now that these three Hebrews have found themselves in their fire, there's something that's going to get the king's attention, something that's going to stop him dead in his tracks. And if you're wondering what that is, look at verse 24. It says, then, so now that these men have been thrown in the fire, it says, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And that word astonished that Daniel uses here for you Bible students and note takers, it's a little weak to convey in the English language, but this word in its original language of Arabic, it literally carries the idea of being terrified or frightened. Whatever Nebuchadnezzar was seeing in this furnace caused him to tremble with fear. I mean, think about it. It caused the king of the most powerful empire of his day to be frightened. And notice very carefully what caused him to have this reaction. It says, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Referring to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They, that's these counselors, answered and said to the king, true, O king. In other words, you're correct, king. We only seen Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into this fire. And then notice his response to his counselors. It says, look, he answered. And at this point, there's no doubt that the king must have had his counselors turn back to look at this fiery furnace, right? To make sure he wasn't the only one seeing what he was seeing. So he tells them, look, I see four men loose, not bound, but loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Can you imagine that? Seeing four men walking freely in the midst of a fire? Because that's exactly what King Nebuchadnezzar is seeing here. And you know, what's so interesting is that a couple of verses ago, we just saw that before Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were actually thrown into the fire, the Bible says that they were bound, right? They were tied up with ropes. But yet now that they're in the fire, the Bible says they're loose and they're walking around freely. And not only that, the scripture says that there was a fourth person in the fire with them. There was someone walking with them. Do you guys know who that is? Jesus. Yeah. You know, Jesus visited Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in this fire that they were in while they were in this great and difficult trial. And this is what we call in theological terms a Christophany or a theophany, which is an appearance of Christ before his incarnation, before he came by way of the virgin birth in the New Testament. That's what we're seeing here in our text. You know, Jesus showed up in the midst of this fire that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in, and he was with them. But not only was he walking with them, but he was also comforting them and protecting them so that they weren't hurt by this fire. And you know, one of the amazing truths that I see here in this verse that all of us can take great comfort in tonight is that God may not always prevent us or spare us from going through the fiery trials of this life, but he will, however, always preserve us through them. That is a promise from the scriptures. You know, there are times when God will allow you and I to go through some kind of fiery trial, some difficult circumstance, so that in it, he can show us his faithfulness. He can show us his power, as well as his ability to comfort us. But you know, if you and I don't ever experience the fiery trials of this life, how are we ever going to see his faithfulness, right? How are we going to see his faithfulness to preserve us through those fires? You see, it's through the fiery trials that we really see the faithfulness of our God. And that's something that these three Hebrews were discovering, that God is faithful and he is always with us in the midst of our fires, in the midst of our difficult circumstances. You know, the Bible says that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. And if the scripture says it, I believe that. But you know, it was also the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, who would tell the church in Corinth that our God is the God of all comfort and that he comforts us in all, not some, but in all our tribulations. And that word comfort, it literally carries the idea to come alongside. What Paul was saying is that God comes alongside of us in every trial that we're in. Every trial that you've ever been through, or currently go through, or will ever go through, Jesus is going to be there with you every step of the way. And we should take great comfort in that truth, knowing that we're not in this alone. Jesus is with us, guys. And that's something that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were finding out in this fire that they were in. Does that make sense? But now, beginning in verse 26 through 27, we're now going to see Nebuchadnezzar's response to this miracle. It goes on to say, then, so now that Nebuchadnezzar has witnessed this miracle, these four men walking in this fire and are unhurt by it, look what he decides to do. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth, speaking of the door, of the burning fiery furnace, and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Notice he gets very spiritual here. Now, a couple of verses ago, he just finished saying, who's the God who can deliver for you? Well, he's finding out that it was the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who could do that. So he says, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. Now, what's funny to me about this verse is that if you think about it, Nebuchadnezzar was the one who wanted these men originally thrown into this fiery furnace, right? But yet now that he sees this miracle unfold, he now wants them to come out of the fire. It's like, make up your mind, right? Do you want us to be in the fire or do you want us to come out of it? He's undecisive. But no doubt he's still astonished by what he had just witnessed. But look at verse 27. It says, "And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they," that's all of these officials, "saw these men," referring to Daniel's friends, "on whose body," notice this, "the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them." Can you imagine that? You know, right after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are given this command by the king to come out of the fire, they start walking out. And as they make their way out of this fiery furnace, these elite Babylonian officials start taking time to examine them. You know, they're checking out, making sure that they're not hurt. And in the process of examining them, they can't find one shred of evidence that these three men were even in the fiery furnace to begin with. I mean, their bodies weren't burnt, their hair wasn't singed, their clothes was intact, and on top of that, they didn't even have the smell of fire on them. I mean, is our God good or what? We serve a great and awesome God. Now, not only is our God faithful to deliver us to the fiery trials of this life, if that's his will for us, but as we see here, he's also faithful to preserve us through them as well. And you know, the truth is that when we come out on the other side of these fires, not only do we have a testimony to share with others about the faithfulness of God, but others also get to hear and see the power of God, right? That our God is good, that he has the ability to comfort us, and the same thing that he does for us, he can do the same thing with anyone else who trusts in him. And now finally, in verses 28 through 30, we're now going to see Nebuchadnezzar's praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we'll go quickly here. It goes on to say, "Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, 'Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel or messenger and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God.'" You know, what's so amazing to me is that this was King Nebuchadnezzar's observation of these three men. You know, when it came down to it, he seen that these men were men of God, that they trusted in the God of Israel, and they were obedient to follow the Lord regardless of what happened to their life, and he's blown away by it. But what's also amazing is that this is actually the second time that King Nebuchadnezzar has got to witness the power of God. If you remember, the first time was back in Daniel chapter 2, when he got to hear Daniel reveal the dream as well as the interpretation to him, right? No one in his kingdom was able to do it except Daniel. And now the second time that he got to see the power of God at work was seeing these three Hebrews preserve through the fiery furnace. Remember, to him, he thought this was something impossible. That's why he asked the question, "Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" And now he's finding out exactly who that God is. You know, seeing this undeniable miracle happen right before him, I mean, Nebuchadnezzar couldn't help but to acknowledge the God of Israel and his power, that he is truly the Most High God and that there is no other God who can deliver like him. And then look what he says in verse 29. It says, "Therefore," Nebuchadnezzar speaking, "I make a decree or a law that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap." If you haven't noticed by now, this king had a problem with cutting people up and burning houses down. It seems like that was always his solution, right? To cut people up and to burn their houses down. But notice why this decree was so serious. He says at the end of verse 29, "Because there is no other God who can deliver like this." And all I can say to that is amen. No, there is no other God like our God. He is the true and living God, and he is the only one who can save. And this is something that King Nebuchadnezzar was beginning to discover little by little. But right here, he hasn't yet converted, okay? He's simply acknowledging these truths about the God of Israel, that he's powerful and that he's able to deliver. But as we'll see, Lord willing, next time, at the end of Daniel chapter 4, I believe it's at the end of that chapter where Nebuchadnezzar finally surrenders and becomes a believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I can't wait to get to that chapter. But as we see here, because of God's power and faithfulness at work in the lives of these three Hebrew men, we see that it caused this pagan king to go and tell others about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, God is actually getting national notoriety here, and from the king of all people. Isn't that awesome? People were hearing about the God of Israel. And then finally, look at verse 30, and we'll end here. It says, "Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon." And so we see here tonight that this chapter ends with these three men of God being promoted to these great positions of power and authority within the Babylonian kingdom. And all of this was all a result because of their obedience to God. You know, there are rewards and blessings that will come your way, that will come our way when we do what the Word of God says. And that's something that we see here in the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because of their obedience to the Lord, God rewarded them. He blessed them for doing that. And as we wrap up this chapter tonight, one of the truths that I want to remind everyone tonight that really blessed my heart this week as I was studying this portion of Scripture is the truth that, again, it may not always be in the will of God to spare us or to prevent us from going through the fiery trials of this life. However, it is always a promise of God that he will always preserve us through them. He will always see us through every trial that we go through. And some of you may be going through a difficult trial right now. Some of you may be going through, you know, a difficult circumstance. Brother, just know that Jesus is there with you, okay? And he's going to never leave you nor forsake you. And that's something that we see here in the Word of God. Amen?